going to look at music metaphorically this morning and in physically. Music of play. And we just experienced that. Free, spontaneous, joyful, makes us laugh, engages us. We want to be there. How many in this room would love to be a little kid again, jumping up and down and shaking a rattler? I would. Matthew, Jesus came to the disciples and asked, "Who is the greatest in heaven?" And he called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let's join together in "I am." And so we begin with the music of play. Play is the exuberant expression of our being. It is at the heart of our creativity, our sexuality, and most careful free moments of devotion. It helps us live with absurdity, paradox, and mystery. It feeds our joy and wonder. It keeps our search for meaning down to earth. Saint Francis, who called his order of jesters of the Lord, Zen masters, sages, Hasidic storytellers, clowns, and performing artists, such prophets, and every spiritual tradition has them, encourage us not to take ourselves too seriously. They say that what we know is not worth knowing, and what's worth knowing cannot be known through our ways. To our sensible selves, their actions seem silly, shameless, ridiculous, even shocking. But they have an important role in the spiritual life. They carry the banner for the spiritual practice of play. And folks, yes, it is a spiritual practice. We need to play. Most of us don't play enough. We're either too busy, which is a code word for workaholism, or we're too serious, mistaking earnestness for accomplishment. Or we're predictable, equating free-spiritness with irresponsibility. The best treatment for these conditions, folks, is to play. We need to lighten up. And just as an aside, yesterday I got into a little jealous fit, and which kind of put a little black cloud on me for the afternoon. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm preaching about playing and lightening up tomorrow, and here I am walking around with a little cloud on top of me. So, folks, we need to remember to play and not take ourselves seriously. We need to lighten up. It's in all the religious traditions. We can practice play by doing things on the spur of the moment. Take time out to experiment. Try on different ways of relaxing. Laugh at jokes, at situations, and most of all, laugh at yourself. Remember, laughter heals the body, the mind and soul, and by extension, the community. There is a shadow side to play, believe it or not. Sometimes we get so involved in role-playing and just having a good time that we never reveal our true selves. Then we need the company of other fools to point out the folly of our foolishness. I'd like to have a quote now from Edward Hayes in The Great Escape Manual. He writes, "Be patient also with life. Those who love life are tolerant of its ups and downs, its reversals and leaps forward. Those who love life enjoy playing it by ear, engaging life without a printed score, simply flowing with its melody. By keeping our agendas flexible and minimizing our demands, life can be a melodic song. Whenever circumstances interrupt the normal rhythm of life, those who cultivate patience and inner freedom are able to improvise with a life situation just like a jazz musician, making up music as they go along. The emphasis in playing by ear is on playfulness. Those who use that gift of the Holy Spirit make their way gracefully through life. Let's sing, "She Comes Sailing on the Wind." And we have a little percussion section over there. I love it. The Psalms were songs. They were sung as the people of Israel danced and sang their way to the temples. And so a few cute readings on the music of laughter. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break into joyous song and sing praises. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills girt themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and they sing together for joy. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." Holy laughter. Laughter is a holy thing. It is as sacred as music and silence and solemnity, maybe more sacred. Laughter is like a prayer, like a bridge over which creatures tiptoe to meet each other. Laughter is like mercy. It heals. When you can laugh at yourself, you are free. Laughter is the closest thing to the grace of God, according to theologian Karl Barth. Another theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr, noted that humor is a prelude to faith, and laughter is the beginning of prayer. Without a sense of humor, you would be missing out on a whole lot of life. You'd be missing out, for instance, the way cats jump upon one another, the way the crows will get at the top of a roof and tumble down in the snow and then run back up again to tumble down through the snow. You'll miss how children and parents play with one another. You'll miss all the humor in the world that exists in big and small scale. You'll miss the humor in the Bible. It's full of it if you don't take it too seriously all the time. If you don't laugh at all of that, you're missing something. Part of a healthy emotional being and life is touched with all of reality, not just the difficult parts. Learning to laugh is not merely a secular pleasure. It opens into the sacred realm, and that's why it's a spiritual discipline. Spiritual traditions from all around the world teach us not to take ourselves too seriously. In fact, sober reverence for dogma and holy figures can stop us from experiencing our own awakening. Sometimes it is better to laugh than to pray, and laughter itself becomes a prayer. Humor seems to make every message stick, whether it's a silly ad that you forgot, you'll never forget, or it's a joke that hammers some important spiritual truth. And so I have a couple of cartoons that I'd like Tony to put up that I thought were kind of fun. Can you read it? "And God separated the light from the dark." Down. Now, do we laugh when the printer's down? No, we do not. Okay, let's join together and give us to laughter. Now, I realized just now, because I'm a little bit nervous this morning, I was just saying to people out front, if you get up every Sunday and preach, you don't think a whole bunch about being nervous. You just do it. But when you pop up once in a while, your knees start to shake a little tiny bit. So I skipped over a video that I wanted to share with you. And Tony, is it too late to go back to that video? Can we do that? It comes under the section of play. And it's such a lovely little video. It's called Skating Under the Stars. It's about that essence of play in our souls. With, you weren't like me, but I grew up in Nova Scotia, and we had the ability to skate on the ponds in the winter, and they would freeze. And my greatest, fondest memories are skating on ponds at night with the moon and just aimlessly skating and not worrying about anything. So the joys of play, of wonder, of laughter, of taking those spontaneous moments in your life and cherishing them. That's where we find God, where we find our ability to pray, where we find our ability to sing. So now we move on to the music of wonder. Psalm 40. Many, God, are your wonders you have done. The things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Wonder begins in the senses, comes alive in the imagination, and flourishes in adoration of the divine. It arises from our natural curiosity about the grand adventure of life. It increases our capacity to be a bold inner space tripper and an avid explorer of the physical world. There is no end to the things that can awaken our wonder. From the majesty of the night sky, to the smell of lilacs in the spring, to the turning of leaves in the fall. It is all right here, a feast of epiphanies and astonishments in the daily round of our spiritual lives. The first step in this spiritual practice is to rejoice in the play of our senses, our touch, our smell, our taste, our hearing, our seeing. Slow down and tune into the varied world of this and that. You'll never get anywhere with rushing. Indifference, that listless, blasé, and detached feeling, is the contrast to wonder. We can never be astonished, awestruck, or surprised when we are either overwhelmed or underwhelmed. Feeling overwhelmed, we don't notice the subtle blessings in our surroundings. We don't take time to stop and smell the roses. Feeling underwhelmed, we couldn't care less. So what? Becomes our response instead of, aha. Wonder is an antidote to both these conditions. This spiritual practice spices up our life with a constant parade of new delights. Most glorious of all, it enhances sensuousness, that elixir that keeps us forever young in spirit. And a quote from Lois Smead in How Can It Be All Right When Everything Is All Wrong? He writes, it takes grace to keep our eyes open to wonder, to be ready for the tug from God, The push from the Spirit and the revelation of deep things from the heart of ordinary people. It takes grace, but it is a great gift. Now I'd like to invite you to close your eyes, settle comfortably in your seats, and breathe with your eyes closed. Breathe in and breathe out. In and out. And as you breathe in and out, say to yourself, breathing in, oh, let me sense. And as you breathe out, the world anew. Breathing in, oh, let me sense. Breathing out, the world anew. Open my eyes, O God, to the marvels that surround me. Show me the wonder of each breath I take, of my every thought, word, and movement. Amen. Let's join together in Teach Me, God, to Wonder. We have a short video now. It's a couple's spiritual journey through 40 years of growing together through wonder. Compassion is a feeling deep within ourselves, a quivering of the heart, and it is also a way of being, being affected by the suffering of others and moving on their behalf. Buddha and Jesus are the most well-known exemplars of compassion. And it is the central ethical virtue in the two religions that develop from their teachings. The spiritual practice of compassion is often likened to the opening the heart. First, allow yourselves to feel the suffering in the world, including your own. Don't turn away from pain. Move toward it with caring. Go into situations where people are hurting. Identify with your neighbors in their distress. Then expand the circle of your compassion to include other creatures, nature, and the inanimate world. The practice of compassion increases our capacity to care. It reinforces charity, empathy, and sympathy. It is a very good exercise for your heart muscle. But we have all experienced that when we move towards others with compassion, we are likely to bump into some common attitudes, just waiting to close our heart again. The usual suspects are judgment and all its associated isms: racism, sexism, ageism, classism, nationalism, and so on. On a personal level, our compassion is sabotaged by feelings of ill will towards others, spite and malice. These feelings and others arising out of emotional wounds and personal pain are actually symptoms indicating that we need to have compassion for ourselves. Stories are some of the best teachers of the way of compassion and its importance in daily life. While I was looking around for research on compassion, I came across someone I had actually never heard of before, but I thought I'd share him with you this morning. Artist and author Frederick Frank, who lived from 1909 to 2006. He was a painter, a sculptor, and an author of more than 30 books on Buddhism and other subjects, and was well known for his interest in human spirituality. He was a dental surgeon by trade and worked with Dr. Albert Schweitzer in Africa. A Renaissance man, he had a deeply personal and universal vision of what it means to be human. The meaning of life is to see, was his motto. The meaning of life is to see. And in response, he created colorful paintings, exquisitely detailed drawings, and larger-than-life sculptures so that we could recognize life in its ultimate dimensions. And amazingly, at the age of 92, in 2001, he edited a book of ideas called What Does It Mean to Be Human? He invited writers and thinkers from all over the world to respond to this question. And most of those people were distraught over the growing contempt for life seen in war, poverty, human rights violations, capital punishment, slavery, the trashing of the environment. Many people throughout history have questioned what does it mean to be human. Some I kind of knew off the top of my head. But I chose Frederick Frank today for this amazing realization, which he writes. I was only in my seventh decade that I realized that the question, what does it mean to be human, is the vital, the central, one to which all other questions and problems, spiritual, ethical, economical, and political, are secondary. And that became the focus of his life. What does it mean to be human? And out of this book, where he gathered all these writers, one of the writers was a Benedictine nun, Joan Chichester, whose books we have in the library and some of you may be acquainted with. And she is quite a dynamic writer. And she told a Sufi tale, which I'm going to share to you this morning. It's a Sufi tale which equates reverence of life to the essence of humanity. Once upon a time, there was an old woman who used to meditate on the bank of the Ganges. One morning, finishing her meditation, she saw a scorpion floating helplessly in the strong current. As the scorpion was pulled closer, it got caught in roots that branched out far into the river. The scorpion struggled frantically to free itself, but got more and more entangled. She immediately reached out to the drowning scorpion, which, as soon as she touched it, stung her. The old woman withdrew her hand, but having regained her balance, once again tried to save the creature. Every time she tried, however, the scorpion's tail stung her so badly that her hands became bloodied and her face distorted with pain. A passerby, who saw the old woman struggling with the scorpion, shouted, "What's wrong with you, you old fool? Do you want to kill yourself trying to save that ugly thing?" Looking into the stranger's eyes, she answered, "Because it is the nature of the scorpion to sting, why should I deny my own nature to save?" Jesus embodied compassion. Jesus says in Luke 6:36, "Be merciful, just as God is merciful." And that's a mantra we can live by. Be merciful, just as God is merciful. Let us pray. And out of compassion, we move to intention. This is how we live our lives through our actions, our words, and our spiritual practice, our intention. Psalm 65, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. And from Revelation 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. How do we develop within our souls and resonate with the music around us of play, of laughter, of compassion, wonder, and all the other mysteries of life? It's by intention, spiritual practice, mindfulness. It's being in tune to the song, listening for the melody. A book I've been reading is called The Music Lesson by Victor Wooten. And he writes, pure, honest intention can bring out the beauty of any emotion. Like notes of music, there is a world of beauty residing inside of each of us. How do we use that intention? By having a good heart. It is like trusting the river current to take you to where you want to go. To fight the current would be disastrous. In each situation, whether in life, in music, in each situation, whether in music or in life, take a moment to close your eyes and feel the current of the heart taking you where you need to be. After your awareness develops, you will no longer need to close your eyes. You will feel the pull of your heart's current and ride it with open eyes, allowing you to view all the astonishing scenery around you. If you can follow the current at all times, you will not have a thing to worry about. Strive to make your life better, and you will have all of life's power backing you. Creating music is our business. But remember, the music is already alive. You do not really create it. The universe is already singing. Our vocation is to bring it alive within us. Let's join together in River Running in You and Me. And I'd like us to join together in a prayer for the journey. Let us say together, God of the way, you are the road we travel and the sign we follow. You are bread for the journey and the wine of arrival. Guide us as we follow in your way, holding on to each other, reaching out to your beloved world. And when we stray, seek us out and find us, set our feet on the path again, and lead us safely home. In the name of Jesus, our companion, we pray. Amen. And Isaiah says, you shall go out with joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You shall go out with joy.